to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on Earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m., Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Hello, everyone. This is Alexander Betters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is a pre-recorded interview for October 4th, 2016. We have a very interesting format today that we're going to review, and it's all about all of us taking action now. We've got some seriously intense, revved up energy supporting us to get off our butts and get on our feet and take action in the most passionate part of your heart and soul of what you want to do, what you want to accomplish, what you want to attain for our new heaven on earth. Now, before I dive into that, I do want to remind all of us what is truly being demarcated right now. We have this massive, massive wave of energy that has come forth, and it has really knocked a lot of us upside the head, kind of knocked the wind out of us, because what it continues to do is prune us and tweak us and assist us in removing anything at all, any relationship, any thought form, any feeling, emotion, even past memories, past lives that are not assisting us in moving forward with this new concept and this new life with our beloved dear Mother Earth. And because of that, there are some ideals that we within the spiritual community have been holding for a very long time. One of them is about us being the bridge, that we're supposed to be the bridge of 3D to 5D. And I say to you today that the messages that are coming in and the conversations that I'm having with others are indicating that that is no longer something that we are required to do. What are we being asked? We are being prompted to fully step into our fifth dimensional bodies, our fifth dimensional life, our fifth dimensional intention, and being there 100%. Now, why do I say this? Because if we keep keeping one of our feet in the third dimensional realm, we cannot truly experience the liftoff that we want so desperately for this entire world. So I just want to put that message out. I think it's very relevant right now, that it's important for us to remember that we no longer need to have one foot in both, I'm going to say, dimensions. As we all know, that's a fuzzy term. So I felt that was very important to get that out. Now, I also want to remind everybody, we are just really doing well with our implant removal process. We're world renowned for it. We have phase 1, 2, and 3. It's a very life-changing experience. A lot of people ask me, how is it different? Well, it's different with us because of the fact of the encodements that we carry. And there are many, many, many other pieces of the puzzle that are going on behind the scenes. And literally, from the moment that you connect with Galactic Connection, you are already working with us on the inner plane. You are already connecting with us, and we are already starting to work with you regarding healing and assisting you in removing a lot of these extremely ancient oaths and contracts and agreements that we've all been entangled in. And in many ways, it has become very deliberate on the part of oppositional forces for us to become so entangled that we do in fact need assistance from others. So I want to clarify that. I also want to let everyone know, to remind you to check out the new alignment with our Mother Earth, the new alignment. It's called the organic light realignment process. It's pretty cool. It's a completely different way of meditating. Check that out. It's up on the website on the right hand column. And we've got a lot of new stuff coming up, lots of new products and services that people are coming to me with. So anyway, with that said, we're going to go ahead and dive in. As you know, I don't really have any advertising, so this is about the only time I have to put some messages out, so bear with me. Now, today what we're doing is we're interviewing a woman named Jennifer Martin, and she is the author of Psoriasis, A Love Story. Now, people might wonder, why did this get my attention? It got my attention because I'm so impressed with this woman. She has really taken a lot of action, not only within her own personal life with her struggle with psoriasis, but also with those things that she sees are definitely methodically assisting and bringing down the human populace, such as cell phone towers. Now, she lives in an active 55 plus seniors community in Roseville, California. She has taught health education for teachers at the National University in Sacramento for 6 years. Her husband is Bud Gardner, who's the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Writer's Soul, excuse me. And she has started RACT, R-A-C-T, which is Residents Against Cell Towers. She was also a public relations director for a large Sacramento school district. She's a former host of her own TV show in Sacramento, and she's now currently directing a documentary and has just started another new group called HEAL, H-E-A-L, which stands for Health and Environmental Alliance, so that she can gather some of these people together to discuss openly current topics such as chemtrails, GMO foods, cell towers, and how they are affecting us, how they're impacting us, and why we need to stand up and stop this now. We are in our power, folks. We have so much supporting us. So I want to welcome Jennifer Martin, and thank you, Jennifer, for popping in today.
Thank you, Alexandra. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. And so, you know, the way that Jennifer and I met was long ago. She decided to write her own book. And you might want to just begin with, how long has it been for you in just coping and contending with the issue of psoriasis?
Well, it took me 30 years of research to figure out the cause of psoriasis, because when I got it, my dermatologist said my case was the second worst he'd ever seen. And of course, I asked him what caused it. He didn't know. There was no cure for it in Western medicine. So I thought, well, you know, that's wrong. So I went about methodically searching body, mind, and spirit causes, and along the way, that's how I got into metaphysics. I got all kinds of healings and readings done by people that you probably know, like Stuart Swerdlow, Michael Elegian, Sonia Grace, James Gilliland, Andrew Bartzitz, So along the way, I was looking at what are the causes of this disease and how can I get to that and systemically stop the symptoms. And so that's what launched me into the world of studying about health. I did teach at National University and was really interested in, you know, finding out what I could do to see to connect the dots, basically. And I realized after, it took me a long time, so I guess I'm kind of slow, but I figured out that it was the toxicity in our water, food, and air that was causing a lot, not only my disease, but so many others, like the rise in Alzheimer's and autism, brain cancers, and so on. So that's how I first got involved in it.
So did you feel that when you started diving into psoriasis, just from a practitioner standpoint, I've seen some of the connecting of the dots regarding psoriasis, because the skin is the largest organ on the body and actually one of the toughest to assist.
That's correct.
Yes.
One of the things that helped me the most was coming across the Edgar Cayce protocol, because he talks about the whole approach of being, you know, looking at body, mind, and spirit. So it's right thinking, but it's also what you put in the body. And he's the first one that talked about leaky gut syndrome, which is slow peristalsis, slow movement of your food out the canal, and little holes being created by yeast and other things so that your toxins seep out into your body, and then the skin being the largest organ of removal of the toxins. That's what caused psoriasis. So his was the first explanation that made sense to me. But of course, I went to my dermatologist and said, have you ever heard of leaky gut syndrome? What's that?
You know, oh my God. Isn't that scary, considering it's probably one of the most common issues of indigestion today. And, you know, everything from colitis to diverticulitis, all of these types of things, indigestion, hiatal hernia, everything is related to digestion. And so much of it is also related to the type of alkalinity of water that we drink.
That's correct. You know, we should have anywhere between 7.2 and 7.5 alkalinity. And when it gets into the acid-based kind of things, like just drinking coffee or having a steak, really takes it down to the more acidic side. So, yeah, I learned all about pH foods and got a huge list off the web on what foods I should be concentrating on. I got alkaline booster that you could put in your water. They actually sell now alkaline water in regular grocery stores. So people are getting the message that you have to look at the pH level of your body.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. And the number of types of waters that are available on the shelves is just astronomical. I mean, it's skyrocketed. It's blowing my mind. And in fact, you know, they have smart water, and they have water that's, you know, depending on which process it's being used, such as reverse osmosis, you know. So obviously there is an awakening as to one of the core most important ingredients for our body, obviously, is water. Now, one of the things I was so amazed by you when you first contacted me, and this is what, years ago, I think, when you first contacted me, was when you were putting together your book. What I find so fascinating, and again, everyone, you might want to check it out. It's Psoriasis, A Love Story. You can purchase this book up on Amazon. It's available in both digital and printed format. And what's cool about Jennifer is she's looking at this through the eyes of someone who's really going on an enlightened journey. And the way that she came in contact with me was through the implant removal process. So can you tell them a little bit about how that impacted you regarding your whole situation?
Right. Well, my whole approach was to look at all the angles, you know, body, mind, and spirit. And when I came across your website, which I absolutely love, by the way, and I saw the archontic implant removal process, I thought, well, you know, that's got to be affecting my body. It has to be. So I went for that, and it's been a huge difference in my life. But while I was on your website, I also looked at your list of, do you think you're a guardian? And I looked down the list and answered yes to all but one of the questions.
Wow.
So I knew I was a guardian. But the other part was, a long time ago, and I don't remember when, but it's been at least 10 years, I had a vision. I was taken up and I was holding hands or wings, I'm not quite sure, with all these other people. We surrounded the earth and we were guarding the earth. And then I pulled out of that link and I was standing next to some exalted being I took as Michael Archangel. And he was standing really hugely tall, you know, looking at the earth. Well, as I stood next to him, I started expanding and got to his height. And he's pointing out the energy grid on the earth. And I could see it for the first time and how all these people were protecting that grid. And I knew then that I was a guardian. But I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't know what that meant. You know, what does it mean to guard the earth? What does it mean to have that kind of responsibility? So as I gained in confidence, you know, not only with the archontic implant removal, but I also got your drops on stepping out.
Yes.
And so that helped propel me really back into more of a public life. Because when I was teaching, I was also on television. I had my own show and local shows in Sacramento, always hosting educational shows that would show the creativity going on in the school. And I did that for 8 years. And so I was used to a public presence. But, you know, when you retire from that life, and I'm in a little retirement community here in Roseville, you know, you kind of withdraw and you just start doing other things. So I've been writing, and of course I did the short little documentary, Breaking Ground for Peace, which won at the 2012 Sacramento Film Festival in the Cine Visionary category. So I'm constantly, you know, looking for little projects. But when the opportunity came for me to address the cell phone tower thing, I had that wherewithal. I had that, you know, push from everything to go, all right, step out again, go forward. It's your time to do something again for your community. So
right on.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Exactly what that essence was created for, was to get everyone to stop being so disassociated. What I mean by that is we as enlightened folks have been coping with such a distorted reality by going within our own home. And it has caused a lot of us to pull away from community involvement. So it's not that we aren't, you know, connecting maybe on the phone or, you know, email or texting or Skype and Zoom and things like that, but it's been more about how we still really hesitate to step out into the public world because it's been so offensive to us. And that exact formula, stepping out, was designed to really give people an initiative and a fire to really line up with what's in their heart, what they're passionate about.
Yeah, and it really works, because about the time I started using it, I had an opportunity to MC a rally around the state capitol against Monsanto and, you know, fighting GMO foods. And so I emceed the whole thing and thought nothing of it. This is fun. So getting back to the public arena was great. And it was easier because I had, you know, your help.
Well, and I want to just tell everybody that's listening, I didn't know she was going to say this. Okay. This is kind of fun for me because I rarely get into my own products and services. I don't really talk that much about them in detail. I just feel like if you're drawn to take them, you will, especially if you are a guardian, you're going to be drawn to my products and services anyway. But thank you for this. It really warms my heart. And the other thing I wanted to tell you, Jennifer, I thought I got a kick because you put an excerpt about our services and it was on page 111 through 113. Isn't that interesting?
Favorite numbers.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. So now, you know, you've gone through this whole journey. You've started to learn about the body, mind, spirit, and there's really so much more involved in that when you go down the type of journey that you have. Because I can relate. Mine's a little bit different, you know, with the car accident, getting stuck in bed for so long, having an immense amount of pain. You really start getting that your your friction, your pain, your suffering, your turmoil, your inability to get well, there's something so much deeper to it, right?
That's right. And you're being pulled along a journey to find out. I mean, you have to know. I did. I was just relentless. I had to find the real reason, and I knew there was a reason and a cause. But I also knew there was something bigger, because I am a communicator, and I knew I would eventually tell people my story in the hopes that sharing that story would inspire them to go on their own journey.
Well, and this is why I have you on today, because I love to see people that don't become a victim and don't wallow in their misery. And I have a really strong feeling about that, because all that time in bed, people have asked me over and over again, my God, how could you do it? Because it was so bad, Jennifer, that if somebody wanted to come over and do a healing on me, I actually had some healers refuse to heal me because my pain body was so astronomical they couldn't handle it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was that bad. And, you know, I would do all these miraculous things. It's just like you're on this journey, and I was relentless and tenacious, and I just had to get down to the bottom of it. And I want to remind people that if you have some sort of condition, whether it's physical, emotional, whether you've got some handicap, it's all being placed there in order for you to find the spiritual aspects of it. Because once you go there, you can have the keys and open up all the doors that are blocking you from where you want to go. I mean, seriously, don't you agree with that, Jennifer?
I agree. And not to let it stop you from doing anything. I remember having psoriasis, and I was doing commercials. And, you know, you have to show your skin in commercials. And I remember some psoriasis newsletter people contacting me, asking me to write an article that would inspire teenage girls to not commit suicide, because there's a huge suicide rate among teens who have psoriasis.
Oh,
it's just unbelievable. And so, you know, I did. I wrote to them. I said, just ignore it. I mean, I just use makeup to hide it. And I wouldn't let it stop me from being out in public and doing, you know, public things. But it does, you know, when you start bleeding through your blouse,
yeah.
as a psoriasis, I mean, there's just so much going on there. But it's amazing how closed-minded the doctors are, the Western doctors. And that's what led me into going into an alternative approach, because, and I tried everything, you know, acupuncture, water therapy, quantum crystal research. I did past life regressions. I had my soul retrieval done.
You did a lot of stuff. Well, did you find any relationship between what you were going through and past life?
You know,
yeah.
Well, Swerve told me about this.
Good.
Because I was adopted, you know, and I figured, well, maybe there was something in a past life connected to all of that. And he said, the reason why you were adopted in this life is that in a past life, you were part of the Roman army, pulling out heretics out of their houses and putting them in jail and taking their children and putting them in other families to be adopted. So you had to experience adoption. And the other part was, this is terrible, you used to be a Roman gladiator and you used to like to set the Christians on fire.
Oh my God.
I know. And that's payback. That's why you have these red patches on your skin, because it's to remind you of that lifetime. So I thought, wow. But you know what? The thing is, once you learn that, you get the lesson, and then your skin starts clearing out.
Sure.
Because you don't have a reminder anymore.
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing?
It's all about, well, because a lot of the alchemy work I do is very much related to past lives. And I find that just about anything, you can still ultimately connect it to other past lives or aspects of yourself that have not been fully healed. So it's all about release work, letting go work. I find another thing is surrender work. This is where we are so accustomed to being in control of our daily schedule. We're so accustomed to being in control of the decisions that we make. And when you get into a place like you've been or I've been, where you're absolutely riddled in, like for you, there's probably a lot of shame that goes into that sometimes. You know, you're not feeling like you're appearing the best. And for me, you know, here I am wobbling around, losing my identity, trying to figure out who am I. And it's at that point, rather than getting into despair and rage, you just turn it over to your creator or higher power.
Right. That's exactly right. I remember doing that. I was in a near car accident. Well, I was in a car accident. I was going to be in a movie acting as an extra. And what's that movie about pizza? Mystic Pizza. And it was being filmed in San Francisco. And I had a girlfriend who had 1950s clothes, you know. So I went up to borrow hers, and I was going down this highway 50. And I could see a car coming at me. It was straddling both the lines, and I could see two people in the front seat. And I'm thinking, why is this guy, you know, in my side of the road?
Whoa.
Well, the last minute, I had to jerk the wheel away to the right. They're all line of trees and a huge ditch. But what happened was my car flipped, and it went across the opposite side, flipped totally upside down, but landed on its wheels in the only area that had no trees. And so nothing happened to me other than I lost the part in the movie, and I think I lost a contact, something like that. But at that point, I said, okay, I got the message, you know. At that point in my life, I was just being reckless, you know, in the decisions I was making and the people I was seeing. I just had this depressed, I don't care, risky kind of behavior. And I thought, that's got to change. That I'm done. I'm going back to my innocence. I'm going to a time where, you know, I used to have innocence about everything. And that's what I reclaimed. And my life just totally changed. Then I got right back on the right path, you know, literally. And I started seriously looking into, you know, the whole metaphysical thing and trying to understand what I was here for. And I finally figured it out. But it does take sometimes a big trauma in your life like that to make you sit back, take stock, and go, okay, what I've been doing is not quite who I am. I want to be my authentic self. How can I do that? And then you're right. All the help comes in.
The angels,
they do. They show up, the angels, your friends. I mean, things start gelling. And then life is just great again.
Yeah. And I think, for me, the pain, I ended up seeing all of these things that we had taken for granted that we had been taught. For example, you know, anybody who hears the word pain, they're going to cringe, right? I mean, even internally within your body, you're going to go, ooh. And with me, I started talking to the painful parts of my body. I mean, I had so much time in bed, I literally, in order to prevent myself from going into a massive state of depression, because I lost everything. You know, I mean, I was very athletic. I was very strong. Basically, I could barely even get up and go to the bathroom, let alone function. And it wasn't like we used to joke around about, you know, what limb or part of my skin is not in pain. You know, so I'd sit there and I really realized that there were a couple of things. Number one, finding humor in this. And number two, really finding the main purpose of the human spirit and the way in which it reacts to pain. And I, all of a sudden, I had this overwhelming appreciation for the body, even more than I had before, where I realized, oh, well, that's the body's main way to communicate with you. Just like psoriasis is with you. It was like, oh, wow, it's really trying to get my attention. It's really trying to, you know, alert me, hey, there's some serious stuff going on here and I need your help. This is the only way I can communicate.
That's true. That's why I called the title of the book Psoriasis a Love Story, because I loved my psoriasis away.
Yes. Yeah.
You have to just love it away and just say, and love yourself anyway. And you're right about the humor. I mean, I wrote it with Irma Bombeck style in mind, you know, channeled my Irma Bombeck, because, you know, you have to laugh at some of the things, ridiculous things I did. At one point, I'm in the Vatican, right? I'm in St. Peter's Cathedral, and I hear this story about how if you make a wish on St. Peter's foot, you know, that bronze statue in there, it'll come true. And so I remember being in a long line in a hot July day, and I'm thinking, I'm not waiting in this line. So I just kind of bolted across and just ducked in front of somebody, made my wish, you know, to end psoriasis and ducked away. And my husband's going, I don't know her. It was really funny. But, you know, and so you have to laugh at stuff, because if you don't, you know, you end up crying, and you don't want to do that.
No. And the other thing I wanted to share with people, that if you are struggling or suffering with a chronic illness or a chronic, you know, disease, or maybe even a chronic injury, one of the other things that's always really helpful is when you're sitting, you know, I used to average about 7 doctor's appointments a week. And I remember, you know, you'd always be sitting in the waiting room waiting, right? And you look around the room, and what I was constantly doing was saying, okay, I got to get some point of reference here. You know, first of all, I'm alive, and I was always trying to come from a state of gratitude. That was one thing I really tried every single day. It was a very important thing for me to say, okay, let me find the gratitude in this experience today. And it helps immensely when you're struggling. But the other thing was looking around the room, and I would look at somebody, maybe even a quadriplegic, you know, somebody like that, or, you know, just the myriad of mangled bodies in the room. And they would start talking to me for some reason, or I'd start talking to them. And I would use that moment as an opportunity to inspire them and to assist them in looking at their experience from a more galactic, you know, perception. And I would watch them transform in front of my eyes. So basically, I couldn't do much of anything at that time, but that's what I almost got addicted to doing, was, you know, trying to transform people into seeing their illnesses and injuries as something other than just being a victim.
That's right. It's an opportunity.
Right.
And it, like you said, it's a wake-up call. You know, I know it's painful, but that gets our attention, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And it, you know, frankly, it is so true what you said. Your higher self is really at a place where it's going, hold on a minute here. You have this big intention and mission over on this side. You are miles away from that. What are we going to do to get your attention? We've already tried, you know, however many times. Oh, okay. So, you know, what happens is you orchestrate these experiences. Now, I'm not going to say that life doesn't have some randomness too, but with every opportunity, it really truly is, you take lemons and you make lemonade out of them.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, it's very important. So anyway, let's segue forward to now. It's, you've gotten your health back. You've really gone down this journey, this very metaphysical journey, and you've really come to the awareness of who Jennifer Martin is, and you move into this community, and I really, really want everyone to hear what she has accomplished. And I am hoping, and I don't even want to use the word hope, because that's not the correct word. I am commanding that I hear from people that will be inspired by her and do the same exact type of thing, because she's an amazing torchbearer in accomplishing something so great on a grassroots level. So, Jennifer, where do you want to start?
Well, we could start when I first learned about the cell tower, and this was August of 2015.
Okay.
And I was giving a workshop called Staying Healthy in a Toxic World, you know, sharing my research gleaned over the 30 years trying to find a cure for psoriasis. So I had this workshop here at Sun City Roseville, and at the end there was a Q&A, and someone stood up and said, have you heard that they're putting in a cell phone tower here at Sun City? And I went, what? And she said, someone has to do something. So that statement kind of rattled around in my brain for a couple of weeks. Someone has to do something. And I'm looking around, you know, I wonder who's going to step up to the plate. And then it dawned on me, I was the logical person because I had studied the health effects of EMFs. I knew the dangers, of electromagnetic fields and microwave radiation, and all the health risks that were involved. And so I thought, well, I'm going to have to do it. So I spent a couple weeks on the phone talking to neighbors. Have you heard about the cell tower? Do you want to get a committee going? And so we started in September to see, you know, if we could gather some folks. So we got about, 8 to 10 people as a steering committee. And we called ourselves Residents Against Cell Towers, so the RACT group. And then we began speaking to the board and at their workshops and meetings. Well, here's the thing. I've lived in Sun City for 20 years, okay? I have never once been to a board meeting because I could care less about politics. But this one got my attention because I thought, they're trying to kill me. You know, because this cell tower would be 0.2 miles from my house.
Oh, my God.
And they wanted right next to our lodge. And I'm going, are they insane? What is going on here? So we began talking to them. We also have a newsletter here and we wrote letters to the editor. I actually called one of the members of Sacramento's Planning Commission, because Sacramento is the next biggest city to us. And I called one of them to see, you know, what do you do when somebody wants to stop a cell tower from being, built? And she said, you know, you have to gather the troops and raise some hell. And I thought, I can do that. In fact, I like to do that. So we met with the mayor of Roseville and the city manager and their head planner. And we said, you know, we don't want this. What do we do? And the mayor said, why don't you get a petition going, because we'll look at those. And what will happen is, in this whole process, if your board of directors decides to go ahead with okaying this Verizon cell tower, it comes to us at city hall level, and we will either, you know, approve it or deny it. So we look at signatures on a petition. So we thought, okay, so we started to get a petition going, and we realized that the board of directors had not told anybody really that they were planning the cell tower. It came up incidentally at one of the meetings that someone attended, and that's how we started to hear about it. So it wasn't like it was a planned on their agenda for a long time and put in print. So most of the residents had no clue what was going on. So our little steering committee got our directory, and we divided up the pages, and we just handed them out and said, okay, you call everybody on your pages, and I'll call everybody on our pages. And we just started telling people about this petition to sign. And we would physically take the petition over to their house and have them sign it, and we went running around trying to get as many signatures as we could. Now, in the meantime, because I had been a public relations director for one of the school districts in Sacramento, I knew how to get the attention of the media. So I wrote a little press release that started off with, there's trouble in paradise. And I explained how here we are, you know, seniors in our golden years trying to retire and in peace. And now we're faced with a cell phone tower that would present immediate health dangers to us, and we were protesting. So Channel 13 and Channel 40 came over and covered the meeting. And we had signs, we're protesting. You know, I'm a former anti-war protester, so it was easy for me to, you know, oh, we got to get signs and, you know, get organized. Well, the board went absolutely ballistic. They wouldn't let the TV reporters in the hall. They kept them at a distance, like on the sidewalk nearest the street. I mean, they were just so rude. And that really got their attention because they were concerned about the image of Sun City, you know, being this wonderful place for seniors to retire. Well, we're blowing that image because we're saying, hey, the people who run our board of directors, they really don't have the best interests of the residents in mind. They have their own little...
their own agenda.
Yeah, and the reason why they wanted the tower was it would earn maybe $2,000 a month from Verizon, and they wanted to put in a putting green, and they wanted to improve the restaurant. What? You know, at our expense? So we kept it up. We blitzed them with all kinds of articles. I found an article about people in Brazil. 7,000 people died of various kinds of cancer.
Yes.
Because they lived directly under a cell phone tower in Brazil.
That I've seen that. You know what, Jennifer, I've seen that a lot in my work as a practitioner. Very, very common for brain tumors.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, people were just totally ignorant. And I thought, you know what, I'm a teacher. I got to start educating these people. So we pulled a meeting together in December for our folks, but we invited some of the board members and two of the property committee people showed up, because their process was the property committee would run through all the research and they would make a recommendation to the board, and the board would uphold that, you know, recommendation. So two of the property committee people came to our meeting. Well, we had invited Eric Windheim, who is an expert on EMFs, and he showed a section from the movie called Take Back Your Power. Have you seen that movie yet?
I've heard about it. I don't think
Take Back Your Power. About an hour in, there's a five-minute clip that we showed, and it's about a woman whose son worked in San Diego State University along with other people in a big hall there, and there's a cell phone tower directly behind that hall. Well, seven people died of brain cancer, and her son was one of them, and other people got, you know, breast cancer and various kinds of cancer. So, but she didn't realize it was a brain cluster, a cancer cluster, until years later. She found it on the web, and she drove back to San Diego State and talked to people, because she said, you know, you're responsible for my son's death. Oh, no, we aren't. There's no direct correlation between cell phone tower emissions and illness. And that was just so wrong.
Totally.
So, you know, and they always like to cite that. Our board did, too. You know, oh, the American Cancer Society says that there's no health risk posed. But that was based on studies that were funded by the telecom industry itself. So, you know, ever since 1996, get this, the Telecommunications Act came about. And it said you cannot oppose the installation of a cell tower based on negative health risks. You can, I know. They said you can only say it is not aesthetically pleasing or it diminishes your house values. So you know what we did? We got on Zillow.com and we looked up the property values of all the board members and the property committee people. And we looked at the current value of the house. And we figured, okay, you're going to lose anywhere between 15 and 21%, according to the studies we read. And we wrote a letter to them and posted it in our newsletter saying, collectively, you guys are going to lose $1.2 million if you put the cell tower up, because that's how much your property value will diminish. And so finally, you know, we're getting the way that they wanted to look at it, not from a health point of view, you know.
Right.
But we did eventually get Campanelli and Associates. They're anti-cell attorneys, and they are in New York.
Huh?
And for a flat amount, you can have them research the city laws, like Roseville city laws, to see what violations would occur if a Verizon cell tower or any cell tower would go up. So we hired them to provide a memo so that the city would have some ammunition if they wanted to turn down, if it got to them, they could turn it down on legal reasons. You can't do it for health reasons. Isn't that crazy?
That's, now Jennifer, how expensive was that for a flat rate? Was it something affordable that if everybody chipped into the pot, it was doable?
Yeah, it was $3,500.
Okay, that's
and,
a group of people.
They chipped in 2 days we had the money. And we established a bank account and, you know, had them do it. So this was in December. And then we had, and they said, you know, have people write letters so that we could have all this documentation. So everybody wrote letters on why they didn't want the cell tower in. And then, of course, we kept up talking to them at their board meetings. But they had a fit because they said that we had we weren't showing any decorum. Okay. what they meant by decorum, I have no clue, except they disagreed with what we were saying, so that they had to criticize how we said it. So they were saying, no one can applaud. After, like, I got talking, you know, done speaking, people would applaud. Stop applauding. What? They got, they just, they're still talking about that, the decorum thing, because you know, no one ever opposed them before. In the 20 years that, you know, Sun City Roseville has been in existence, no community uprising has ever occurred. And they are still freaked about it. I think it's funny.
I think it's funny, too. And it's going to make them think twice before they do something else that's not considering the benefits of society as a whole in their, you know, their community.
True. Well, see, and their process didn't involve talking it over with us first. They never got feedback from us. They never asked us what we thought about a cell tower. They just announced that they were going to do this. And so we went ballistic, and I know we went over the top, you know, bringing in the media, but we had to get their attention that what they had done was wrong.
And now, Jennifer, I totally disagree with you, and I'll tell you why. Because you're dealing with corporatocracy.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with billions, if not trillions of dollars when you're up against a corporation such as Verizon. And if the situation was reversed, what do you think they would have done? You know, I mean, they'll use any means they can to maintain their profitability.
That's true.
And this is where we need to become more of an initiatory presence everywhere we live, everything that we are opposed to. And I'm not talking about, you know, we shouldn't be sticking our noses in the middle of somebody else's home behind four closed doors, you know, behind closed doors. But I do feel that when it's something where this is hurting all parties, and it's something that has already been statistically proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that
right.
It has health hazards, you know, and if you start looking at some of these, you know, a lot of the tests, the what am I trying to call them? The panels that they've used to to actually justify that there's no health ramifications. It's because it's committed and put together by the same people that are associated, if not at the tip top of Verizon. So
correct.
We cannot assume anymore that we are being taken care of. This is a very old philosophy, and it is dead. It is one in which we have been proven a gazillion times over that our governments, and you know, come on, this is a government level. This is on the mayor level, okay?
Right.
They are not necessarily going to make decisions that are based on, oh, gee, I don't want Jennifer Martin, who's, you know, point something miles away from this. I don't want her to possibly develop a brain tumor. They could care less.
That's true.
You know, they're only looking at their business, their job, and how much money can they bring in. They're, because it's based on money, unfortunately, conscience in many ways goes out the door. So what are we as starseeds, as guardians, as light workers? What are we here to do? This is where we really take our power back. And I would like to ask you, when you went out and gained signatures, I bet that was an incredibly fulfilling experience.
It really was. I mean, first of all, I got to know a lot of my neighbors. And we got over 1,300 signatures in just 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, and we could have kept it up longer, but then the properties committee finally recommended to stop the whole process. They finally heard us. And, but yeah, getting to know everybody was great. And I'm still getting thank yous. They are still thanking me. Thank you for what you did, because we stuck our necks out. We wouldn't take no for an answer. The board had never been, talked to like we talked to them. And, although they're still bristling, too bad, because I looked at it was as they're trying to kill us all.
Yes.
And they just don't realize it. And so we have to do something. I mean, we did it literally to save our own lives.
I agree.
Yeah, I feel great about it.
I know. And as you should. And, Now, if you were to recommend that other people, because that's what I'm really hoping everybody gleans from this, is for others to take the same similar type of action. As you know, there are a lot of communities out there that have had a lot of health problems with children, everything from the women cannot get pregnant because of the water, cell towers where there's like a very high propensity for people to develop tumors, particularly in the brain, but they usually have something to do with the nervous system. Well, hello, folks. The cell towers definitely mess with the nervous system of the human body, period.
Not only that, firefighters, the International Firefighters Association, voted no cell towers on their buildings because they realized that a healthy person being under a cell tower like that can get high blood pressure. I mean, they understood all the health dangers. So they voted an initiative to stop all cell towers being built on fire stations.
That's fantastic. Now, if you know, I know that somebody's probably listening to you going, man, I would really like to get them to stop doing whatever in their community. But, oh, gee, I'm not like Jennifer. I don't have those connections. What would you say to them?
Make your own connections. That's what I did. I did a lot of research on the web. There are other communities throughout the United States fighting the same issue. And a lot of them start their own websites, and they'll tell you exactly what they did and what research they did and pop that up on their website. If we had time, I might have done that. But it was 6 months of our own personal investment, and that's all we could do. But all they have to do is research and look at what other people are doing, that's why I found Campanelli and Associates, because I looked at anti-cell attorneys. I looked at any way that we could attack them, or not attack them, you know what I mean, attack the problem and stop
just
them.
Counter their resistance.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why we went to the mayor right away. Well, she has an aunt who lives here. And so, you know, we knew what she was on.
Well, now, let me ask you, Linda. I'm sorry, Linda. Jennifer, I was reading this piece of paper right here and it had Linda on it. When you talk about the mayor, was she resistant to meeting you? Because I know that their position is one where they're supposed to be open to the public. And I was wondering, did you have any resistance in that area?
Oh, not at all. Her name was Carol Garcia. Very, very gracious woman. When she had the meeting, she invited the Planning Commission people to be there, you know, with us. And she was just wonderful. We showed her all of our documentation because they wanted to put the cell phone tower in a place that was a park. And it had 200-year-old oaks that they wanted to cut down. And Verizon was going to be charged $118 an inch for every tree that they cut down to put this cell tower in. It was just an atrocity. So she would have to approve, you know, the whole deal. And she knew we didn't want it, and we explained why. It wasn't just where they were going to do it. It was the health issues, too. But she understood she could only she couldn't look at the health issues. She had to look at the environmental issues and things like that. So she was very, very gracious to us. And
you weren't just assisting human health issues from occurring, but you were also assisting and saving some trees from being cut down.
Correct. And that was a roosting place for all the turkeys around here.
Oh.
And they would have been destroyed. You know, people don't realize millions of birds die every year because of cell phone towers. Because of the radiation, they're dying. And so they would have destroyed that. There's a little creek in that park. They would have damaged the creek, polluted the creek. And that flows into the Sacramento River. So that would have been affected. So they didn't even look at the environmental impact that they were going to make. All they could think about, they were just driven by greed, you know, oh, we're going to get $2,000 a month. So we brought all of our issues up to the mayor, and she was just really amenable to all of them. And that's why she said, get us a petition going, because we look at that. So, because she was looking for ammunition to fight the tower, I think.
Right. And okay, now if somebody was to take this on in their own local community, what are the core contacts that they need to make? You mentioned the mayor, you mentioned the city planning department, and I think you mentioned the board of directors. Is there anyone else in particular that they should focus on?
Well, they need to gather the troops. They need to get their residents and community members to organize and sign petitions. And most people thought, you know, oh, if I sign a petition, that's the end of my participation. Well, the way the whole system works here is that they were going to have a community meeting and both sides could present, you know, their pros and cons. And then that group would in turn go to the planning commission or city council, and the city council would vote yay or nay to uphold or deny the application for Verizon. Mm-hmm. So that's the way our process went. So the, people need to find out what the process is if they are in a HOA like we are, a homeowners association, mm-hmm. or if just in their neighborhood. But see, we had 17 cell towers already within a 3-mile radius of
Wow.
the city. I know. And we didn't need any more. And so that's, we kept telling them cell towers do not belong in residential areas. But they were just looking at the money. So that's what I would do. I would look at, you know, all the implications, get help from anti-cell attorneys, look at other websites, what have people done, because there are people organizing all the time. And I didn't know that. I thought, you know, we were one of, you know, only a few, but no, you'd be surprised how many people are fighting this in different communities across the United States.
So Jennifer, now when you brought up that there were already 17 cell towers in the area, that to me alone is an avenue that you could really take that all the way to the end and start showing that that's even unnecessary. I would imagine that the capacity of each one of these towers and the range that they can cover, you don't need 17 towers within three.
Well, not only that, but they've got a new chip coming out where instead of a phone call being relayed from, you know, a phone to a tower to a phone, it's going to go directly from phone to phone. So within 5 years, cell towers are going to be obsolete.
Oh my gosh. And so
don't need them.
And who's going to tell us about that, right?
No one.
They're just going to keep cranking the money. You know, the basic landowners or the people that have the towers, because I know that there was a park down the way that we used to go to all the time, and we looked up one day and it had this really fake tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hokey. It was ugly. It was clearly not a real tree. And, you know, we looked at it and okay, that's a cell tower. And that was their way of bringing in passive income so that they could afford to take care of the land. You know, we need to become a little bit more creative in how we want to generate support and income other than something that's going to be damaging all wildlife. And you brought up a really good point. How many flocks of birds do we see every day? I'm lucky if I see one flock of birds a day.
Exactly. I know.
It's a travesty.
Hear the birds, you know, chirp all the time, and we hear nothing now. Bud and I, my husband, we play golf, and when we first got here, you'd see all the little killdeer running around, and you'd hear the birds in the trees. Now, nothing. They're gone.
So is this what we really want, folks? Is, you know, are we finally getting to a place where we've had enough and we're not going to allow government, which means mind control, to make all of these choices and decisions for us? I mean, we're at a place where we really need to start banding together. This is a call all the way from the tip top, from, you know, creator all the way to Mother Earth, really wanting us all to work as a unified communal force. I mean, this is really, 2016 is all about transitioning into that. Up to this point, we've been working so much on ourselves and our individual issues and releasing and forgiving and letting go. And of course, most of us that are light workers, we're doing a tremendous amount of work for the mass consciousness and releasing and letting go. But now we're really stepping into a fifth dimensional place of unity consciousness, really being in a place where, should I do that? If I do that, how does it affect the all? It's not just about how does that affect me or just the person living next door to me. You know, if we don't start making these decisions, we are at a crossroads, right? I mean, Jennifer, I'm sure that you did an immense amount of research on not only the physical implications of the towers, but what about the way in which cell phones have affected us on a social family level?
Oh my gosh. People have no idea how dangerous a cell phone itself is. It's like carrying a tower around with you. And especially if you're in a car and you're on a cell phone, oh my gosh, all those EMFs are bouncing all over the car. Plus, attention is not where it should be. And even in families, you know, where you see all the kids are on cell phones and everybody's texting one another instead of relating as people, it's so damaging. And that's one of the things, one of the reasons why we started the HEAL group, the Health and Environmental Alliance, because we tell them about the dangers of cell phones. We ask them to turn their cell phones totally off when they come into the room, because they need to be aware that it's affecting all of us in a negative way. And we, you know, give workshops on what's going on health-wise because of cell phones. And so people are starting to get the message, but they really need to be educated. They, you know, that's the key to me. We need to wake people up by, you know, telling them what they're doing, because every choice that they make has to be a conscious one. And most people are not conscious of what they're doing and how it impacts all of us. You know, carrying a cell phone into a meeting with everyone else, hello.
Yes.
You know, you have to realize that you're impacting everyone. And most people don't even think about it, because you can't see an EMF. You can't see that wireless signal and how it's going through. Same thing with smart meters. You know, we tell people to get rid of smart meters. That's why Eric Windheim, the consultant that we had make a presentation, he stopped SMUD, which is the Sacramento Municipal Utility District. He stopped them from telling people that the smart meters only go off twice a day, because in their literature, that's what they were saying, when in reality, it goes off 13,000 times a day.
Oh my
so you're
God.
Getting radiated that way. So, you know, that's where we are right now, is just trying to educate people and make them aware of what's going on in their small little community. I mean, we've got little over 3,000 homes here, 5,000 people. But I'll tell you, they were all impacted by this one issue. And we're still continuing to, you know, have people join us and go over all these issues of, you know, how your health is so impacted by the environment. It's a direct connection.
You know, Jennifer, you made a comment about it just being a small little community. I have a story to tell that I hope will impact people as to why just one person's action, decision, and will to move forward can impact an entire population. When I was young, I used to hear all the time about my great-grandmother, and she was a suffragist. And she used to, you know, and this is back in the days, for those who aren't aware of that time frame, this is back in the days where women were not, you know, they were not heard, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just
right.
arrived at houses in their beautiful little dresses, in their carriages, and, you know, they were considered to keep the home moving and overseeing the child rearing and that kind of thing. And back in this day, it was 1919, and my great-grandmother was very, very active in vocalizing that women were equal to men and they should have the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to state that do I support the voting system, or do I even support the government now, who you'd be voting for? Well, not necessarily, but the premise of voting as a consensus for us as a community is a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got down to the wire. And she was very active and very networked and very connected and very articulate. And the night before Congress was going to vote on the right for women to vote, she got wind that they were one vote off, just one. They had they had affected a multitude of people, and they had, you know, basically impacted many of the senators and congressmen, but there was one that was like the killer vote. So she very, very unexpectedly, and this was something you just didn't do back in those days, she got in her carriage and she went over to this gentleman's home. His name escapes me right now. And it was 8 o'clock at night. And that was just unheard of. And she basically demanded his presence, and they supposedly spoke for 4 hours, and she was so adamant about he looking at his decision was going to be historical, and it was going to impact people for generations to come, and, you know, really challenging him, like, why are you looking at a woman in a different way than you look at a man as far as their intellect, da 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 da. And so my whole point is they ended up voting in favor for women to have the right to vote.
All right.
That was one person, okay, making that will decision and challenging and not taking like resistance, obstacles, challenges lying down.
Correct. So, good for her.
Yeah. So don't you feel... You know, what was impressive to me, too, was you said, oh, okay, so they came back and said, oh, well, you know, you can't hassle us and you can't challenge us on health complications. You know, it can only have something to do with property values. And then you immediately came back with, okay, well, if that's what you're going to, you know, argue with us on, then here, you know, we'll present you what is not aesthetically pleasing and how it's going to impact the value of people's homes. I mean, that was brilliant.
You know what? We even wrote to the president of Verizon's, and we started off with a quote from Warren Buffett, who once said, "We can afford to lose money, lots of money, but we can't afford to lose reputation, even a shred of reputation. Does Verizon really want to be known as a company that's against aging seniors in America? You can stop that from happening."
Yeah,
we even wrote to him and said, "We don't want this. You know, you're going to lose your reputation too, Verizon." So we did. We attacked in every level we could attack, and it worked. But and then we partied, you know. And then after, the board passed around the microphones and just lit into us about how rude we were and, you know, lack decorum and all this stuff. So Bud and I went out and had sundaes, ice cream sundaes to celebrate. We just said, you know what? You can chew us out all you want, but you're still voting this down because you know in your heart of hearts that it's wrong. And that's the thing. Because we have a situation where they don't have to vote on something or allow us to vote on it if it's $500,000 or less on any kind of project. That's why they wanted to push this thing out and not give us a vote. And that's another thing that was so wrong. That's why we had to resort to the petition, because they wouldn't allow us a vote on it. But you just have to be persistent. And you're right. One person can sure make a difference. Oh my gosh. And you don't realize it. You don't realize the impact you make until someone tells you later, or you look back on it and go, okay, just because I did that one extra thing, I did that one step, you know, maybe that's what pushed it over the edge. You don't know.
But you have and I was also intrigued by the fact that if you reach out to those who have already suffered the consequences from that particular challenge that you're trying to overcome, you're going to have a lot of power and influence and experience on your side when you want to bring this forth, you know, for example, and stop like a cell phone tower erecting. I thought that was brilliant. That should be probably a natural, normal modus operandi.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You just look at it from every angle and try to coax, you know, whoever you can to look at it rationally. And they have to make the right decision, but it has to be not just the head and thinking of money, but it has to be the heart and thinking of the health and welfare of everyone.
Yes.
And our board of directors just wasn't looking that way, but they had to uphold the properties committee vote, and that's what they did.
Well, so do me a favor, Jennifer. Can you share the website for HEAL? That's the first thing.
Oh, I don't have a website for HEAL.
Oh, you don't?
I have a website for my book, and I have actually my second book, The Huna Warrior, The Magic Begins. I have a website for that. But yeah, I didn't start one. I should, huh?
You should. And well, how can they reach you if they have questions about getting started in their own community to do the same thing as you?
Okay. Well, they can email me at jenmartin@surewest.net. That's JenMartin at SureWest, which is SureWest.net.
Perfect. Now, and would you be at all able to put a step-by-step process together that I could post on the website?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's do that. And okay, let's put a challenge out there to all of the listeners for Galactic Connection and beyond. And the challenge is start with baby steps. This would be an absolutely perfect way for so many of you who feel, I get a lot of emails, Jennifer, where they're like, oh gosh, I wish I could do something. You know, I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I'm not good, or I can't get out of the, you know, whatever it is. This would be an ideal opportunity for those of you that are at home who really want to start making a difference. I want everyone to understand the moment you make that decision, you're already affecting the mass consciousness. Please understand that. Just the decision to make yourself, you know, part of a force that is taking our power back.
Right. You have to step into your own authority, and you have to say to yourself, I'm responsible for what happens around me. I'm responsible for whether that cell tower is installed or not. And once you take that responsibility, there's so many people who will come gather around you. I mean, it's like a magnet. But that one person has to step up because so many people are afraid. You know, you're right. They don't know what to do. I didn't necessarily know what to do either. I've never done anything like this before. But, you know, you just start researching it, and that's what I do, and start figuring out, okay, what do we do next? And it'll go from there.
And that is the true path of a guardian. I mean, we are trailblazers. We walk into the line of fire, and we pave the way so people can, you know, basically create their own, let's just put it this way, they create their own aspects, their own lives, and the benefits of what we've done so that, you know, it doesn't have to be duplicated. We're all in this together. And I just was so impressed. Now, from start to finish, how long did it take you?
6 months.
6 months.
From August, when I first heard about the tower, till till January, where we ended everything. And February was when I think the whole board said, okay, we can stop the process. It was about 6 months.
And in that 6 months time, did you feel, oh gosh, you know what? This is just never going to happen. I'm going to throw the towel in.
Not once. No, there were too many people knocking at my door, coming in, you know, and thanking us for stepping forward. You know, people, we were too busy getting petitions signed, going to meetings, just, talking to the board, writing letters, all of that. We were just constantly busy. That was my main focus, my one focus for 6 months.
And you know, how cool is that? Because not only did you make friends and meet new people and, you know, reestablish a communal connection. But you also realized that there's a lot of people that are really hungry out there. They just need some direction. You know, they just need a little kick in the pants. If they see you on fire and you're out there rallying and they already feel that way, but they're a little bit, they're not somebody that's really apt to be the one to take, you know, the front decision kind of thing, they're going to be rallying behind you.
Exactly. Yeah, they can see one person. It's like you said, being the light, you know, you've got this beacon of light. And so now everybody can see and they see you and they want to join you. Because, you know, they feel the same way. Maybe they don't want to be prominently out there in public, but they know you're standing up for them. And so they're backing you all the way. So when we had over 1300 people backing us here. And, I know the board was just totally blown away by our support, by constant letters to the editor, you know, in our newspaper supporting us, even though they wrote denigrating letters to the editor about us. You know, it just became a huge blossoming thing in terms of community connection. I'm so glad because I know so many more people now and they know me, and it's just been, you know, a really great thing because like I said, I've been here 20 years, and now to know so many more of my neighbors and to know, you know, I protected their health as well as mine, you know. It's a great feeling.
And the fact that this could not be better timing for, if in fact you all need to work together as a united community, if there are any challenges or problems, you know, with the future, any kind of transitional issues going from the old matrix to the new, this makes it so much easier for all of you because you're connected. This is one of the number one things that the Arcontic virus has done to this world is disconnect all of us, not just with our own higher self, even our possibly even connecting with our creator, but it's also disconnected us from one another. And that's because we're so strong as a united force. So please, everyone, take the challenge. And really consider what Jennifer has done. Again, Jennifer, I want to thank you just for sticking it out. Now, you mentioned that you staged a protest at one of the board meetings, and two TV stations arrived and covered the whole experience. How difficult was it for you to get those two TV stations to show up? Because I think that's another thing people are going to step back and go, oh, well, I couldn't do that.
Oh, it was so easy. I just wrote a press release to all the newspapers and TV stations around Sacramento, Roseville, and just said, you know, there's trouble in paradise. Here we are in a senior community, and we are opposed to a cell tower when our board of directors is not giving us a vote on. And please come out to our meeting and view our protest. And they loved it because it was an unusual twist. You know, here are these old seniors, you know, protesting. Oh, my gosh, that's rare. And especially in a retirement community like ours, it was just I got their attention in the press release. And so two of the major ones showed up, and that was really cool.
That's fabulous. And I would highly recommend, since you've already done all this, that you keep yourself open to those that might need your assistance, you know, in their local communities, because you've obviously, you know, you really have done your research and you know what to look for and you know what's a possible obstacle that you might run into. So, you know, just stay tuned because you may get quite a few inquiries.
Oh, that's great. I would love to help anybody out who wants to do the same thing. If there's any way I can help, absolutely. They can just email me and I'll get in touch.
Right on. Okay. Well, thank you again. I am so glad you reached out to me. And folks, please, once again, check out her book entitled Psoriasis, A Love Story. Again, you can check that out on Amazon. You can also reach her via her email address, which again is, go ahead, Jennifer.
JenMartin@surewest.net.
Perfect. And we look forward to hearing your success stories. And even if you're not, even if you haven't accomplished the end game, just it's a success, period. The fact that you took the stance, you made the decision, you have the will to move forward on things that are not pleasing you in your local communities. So I hope that this helps. And that's what I've always desired to do. Jennifer, thank you so much for your time today. And I just want to wish everybody oodles and oodles of love and light. Please stay tuned. We are in the process of a lot of changes. I know I've been saying that over the course of the last 9 months or so. We just brought on a new blogger, which I think everybody is really loving. His name is Steve. And we're bringing on a new shipper. You know, just lots of changes. We're trying to get ourselves more in line because I want to thank all of you for your patience when we're trying to get shipping out because we've been such a small little human resource organization. So I'm trying really hard to get that, get my ducks in a row so everything's running more smoothly. So
I just wanted to say one thing to you and all the listeners, aloha, which means hello, goodbye, and love in Hawaiian. But when you look at the root of the word, ha means breath, and aloha really means go with the breath of God. And that's what I wish for you.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Well, we love you, Jennifer. Thanks for your spirit. And love to all of you that are listening. You all know how much I love you. You guys are such an awesome audience. I could not be more blessed and honored. So stay tuned for next week, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Take care. Lots of love.